what it made. Always looking for that renegade. I calls it like I sees it. A spade is a spade. A good man is a thing of yesterday.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Sean. My man in Amsterdam, how are you?
You've been misinformed. I'm not in Amsterdam. I'm doing okay. I apologize if my sound might not. I'm not at my desk. I don't have my new camera or my new mic. It's just my laptop, so it's going to be a little different. But here I am.
It's understandable. Yeah.
Yeah.
There you are. Here I am.
Well, I guess it's been a few weeks since we've done a podcast.
It has. Yeah, I would say it's close to a month.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. We almost did one last week, but I couldn't quite get there. But now here we're back. It's August 10th. It's hot as hell. And we're back doing podcasts after some life changes for me. And which we're going to discuss today. So I'm looking forward to that. Everything's you're in a very white room today with a very white t-shirt. It's very...
Yes. Very zen over here, trying to keep it light as possible. Yeah, it's like 10 million degrees here. Dog days of summer. I mean, I like the summer. And the dog days of summer, it kind of reminds me of maybe when I was a kid and you're out, like, looking for a sprinkler to jump through or somebody's pool or something. We just went to Home Depot and got a water trough. So the girls are outside doing a cold plunge. There's ice in there. They're just like, we figured, what the hell, we're going to do it. So
that's a great idea. I mean, why not?
Instead kind of fun. Yeah.
Just to stay cool. It does remind me as when we were kids, because we have like a portable air conditioner, but as kids, there was no air conditioning. Maybe your richest friend, maybe, like, it just didn't exist. Right.
It's so true. Yeah.
I remember lived out in the country for a while, and I had a little fridge, just like I got here beside me today, but I had a little fridge in my room. And I remember one summer just kept throwing my sheet inside the refrigerator,
really
cooling it off, and then bringing it back out. Cause it was a million degrees. You couldn't sleep. You couldn't, your sweat just sitting there. I don't find it's, we don't get that much anymore, but anyway.
Yeah, it's very creative of you. I would have never thought about that as a kid, but I think that's a great idea. Maybe I'll try that later.
Give it a shot. Give it a shot.
Absolutely. Yeah. So.
So today, I think we should jump into the subject, because if we start catching up, it's going to be about our subject anyway. So let's just jump into it. We're going to talk about diabetes today, which is something very near and, I like this, I wouldn't say dear to my heart, but near me.
Yes.
So what, have you got a definition of diabetes?
I do. It's a medical definition, but diabetes is a disease that occurs when your blood glucose, also called blood sugar, is too high. Glucose is your body's main source of energy. Your body can make glucose, but glucose also comes from the food you eat. That's kind of the definition. There was another one that I printed on my... Yeah, diabetes is a long-term health condition where the body has trouble controlling the amount of glucose in the blood.
Interesting.
And then kind of a basic version of that is diabetes is when your body can't use sugar from food the right way. So sugar builds up in your blood instead of giving your cells energy.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, I knew that, but maybe not exactly that way. And you might not have this information. I didn't ask you to do it, but you don't happen to have a definition between the type 1 and type 2, do you?
I do. Yeah. Yeah. I'll read it, but type 1 diabetes is the pancreas doesn't make insulin. So glucose can't enter the cells properly and it builds up in the blood. Type 2 diabetes is the body's cells become resistant to insulin, meaning they don't respond well to it. And the pancreas then basically has to overact and eventually can't produce enough insulin to compensate.
Okay.
Yeah.
So type one, if you're either born with type one, or I remember a friend of mine got type one when he was like 12, and it was instant. It wasn't a grad, it was like, that's it. Your pancreas isn't making it anymore. And he was on insulin the next day. Like it was, yeah.
It's not a lifestyle diet or it is an
No.
autoimmune disease that relates to genetic factors. Some environmental triggers, though, they say can also set this off. You're not always born with it, but it is an autoimmune disease. So you just can't produce insulin. Whereas
Right.
type 2 is it develops over time.
Well, the
Right.
guy I know, he was only 12 at the time, but he was a major athlete. I mean, played every sport, really good shape, took care of himself, ate pretty well, like he definitely didn't do anything to bring it on, just happened
Right.
for whatever reason.
Right. Right.
And but then I had an aunt, my dad's sister, she was born with it, and she ended up losing both her legs, her eyesight, and she eventually died from it pretty young. So don't think it was
That's
taken. I don't think it was. I don't think the care was quite as good back then. Even the quality of the insulin and everything, I don't think it was quite as good. So.
Yeah, and I mean, even just you saying that, I think just as I was, because I was doing a bit of research, on it. My dad had type 2 diabetes as well, and I don't know what it is. Maybe it's me. I don't know. I can't speak for general society, but I feel like it's kind of one of those diseases that people are like, it's not that big a deal. Like you can manage it. But the reality is, it can obviously, as we'll talk about today, become a very big deal. It's certainly in the last 50 years really rapidly increased.
Yeah, our diets have gotten so poor, and I think we've become sedentary. And I know in North America especially, diabetes is an epidemic, and you said a mouthful a second ago. I don't know if you were talking about your dad specifically, but I've said for a while now, just the last few years, I would love to speak to young people about their health, about taking diabetes seriously, because I became a type 2 diabetic in my 20s, and I was quite overweight. But I didn't take it seriously at all, Chris. Like and then 10 years passed, and you know what changed in my life? Nothing. I felt fine. I still did whatever I wanted. It didn't slow me down. My A1C would go up to like 12 or 10, and my doctor would say, I was on pills, I was trying to control it with medication. I had a doctor one time kind of talk me out of insulin. Which is crazy, but he said, insulin, the problem with insulin is it goes in and it thins your blood out of the sugar. But he said it, then all of a sudden your blood's been thick, and then insulin goes in, and all of a sudden the blood kind of shoots to the end of your blood vessels and starts breaking them down. And that's how you start losing your eyesight and feeling your feet. And he just said, if you can avoid it, if you can beat it with diet and pills, try to avoid insulin. So I took him seriously, and he might have been right, but I didn't take the other part of it seriously enough. I didn't take the diet part seriously enough. So 10 years passed, another 10 years passed. Really not that big a deal. I mean, I'd had it for 25 years. I was 50 years old. I didn't see any particular ill effect to it. I had some numbness in my feet. My eyes were okay. And then what I call 50 hit me, man. And 50, I started developing a Charcot foot, which is a fairly rare complication to diabetes. And Charcot foot is basically your arch softens and it starts to collapse and it kind of breaks down. And I combine that with the fact that I was an opiate addict at the time. I wasn't paying much attention to it. I thought my, honestly, this sounds really dumb, but I thought my sneakers were like getting weak, and I just thought my ankle was rolling a little bit, and I just wasn't paying attention. And then I got clean on my opioid addict, which we talked about that already. But then I really had a problem. I was limping all the time, and my arch, I could see my foot getting flat, and it was affecting my hips and all these other things. And I went in to see a doctor about it, a surgeon, and he told me what he thought it was. He said, "I think I can fix it. Come back in a month." And I went back in a month, and he said, "No, I can't do anything about it." This is a true statement.
Yeah.
He said, go get yourself a pair of really good work boots with, that are high up and tie them really tight, and then you should be able to walk straight." And I'm like, "You told me you were going to fix me. Now you want me to buy a pair of work boots? Like, what?"
Wow.
So I went into my GP, to my GP, and she wasn't there, but this woman was filling in for that I really like. I've had it before. And she said, "You know, a surgeon very rarely will override another surgeon. If someone says one thing, it's hard to get another surgeon to disagree with them. It's kind of like just
Right, right.
right." But she said, "I'm looking at your case. I'm going to send it to a friend of mine." And she did. He called me right in. He said, "It's Charcot foot. I think I can help you. It's complicated. It's not easy." And that's when my journey began on that. And you know, we won't talk about it all, but you know, 5 or 6 surgeries later, I wore that metal bracket for 7 months. I've been going. I've got 3 steel broken rods. I did have 3 steel broken rods in my foot. In the middle of that, I had 3 strokes, and those strokes were definitely brought in at least partially by my diabetes. And then it led to 2 weeks ago, which we're going to discuss in a little bit more detail. But I got my lower left leg amputated. And
Yeah.
basically, about a month ago, I got an infection in that foot, which I've had dozens of, I don't know, and maybe a dozen over the years. And this infection just about killed me. And I mean, I don't mean that figuratively, I mean that literally. I had a fever of 104, 105. It was like 12 days in a row. I went septic, I was in the
Yeah.
hospital. They were pulling stuff out of my leg. So basically, the surgeon said, "Sean, there's absolutely nothing left to do to that foot. We've done it all. It's nothing left to operate on. It's causing you problems daily." I was going to the hospital 3 times a week. I was on antibiotics for a couple years straight. But it wasn't an easy decision to make. But they took off my lower leg quite. Not that far under my knee. It was a little higher up than I was hoping.
Right.
But he said we had to make sure we got everything out, all the problem area. And he
Right.
also was telling me, which you live and learn, that you really want your amputation up to at a certain point. You don't want to cut it too low or your prosthetic won't work or react right. So
Right.
he knew what he was doing. So anyway, so 2 weeks ago, I woke up with only one leg, and I've been dealing with that ever since. So.
That's a lot, man. Thank you for sharing all that. That's a journey for sure. And I have questions. I've had questions, I guess, over the time that we've known each other that I haven't necessarily asked. And I want to preface all of this by saying, like, I don't want you to feel bad or do any of that stuff, but I think that there's some questions that I think, especially related to men, that I think are questions that are relevant to ask. And like, for example, when you were talking about, your Charcot foot, tingling starts, things start happening, you're not sure. Like, guys tend to just like, oh yeah, it's all good. We'll just fuck. I'm just gonna power through it. So like, for example, during that period, did you address it immediately? Did you wait a while? Was it kind of like, ah, it's gonna go away? That kind of stuff. Like, that's, it's pretty common for certainly men our age and older. Like, a lot of guys, they don't even go to the doctor. They're just like, ah, fuck it, I'll be fine, And so I'll just ask you that. Like, did you kind of
Absolutely.
like,
That's exactly what I did. I just thought, oh well, you know, it's look, it's my ankle's a little off. I'll get it back and I'll work through it. And I was trying to buy
Right.
insoles to fix it, and I just wasn't taking it seriously. I never took my diabetes seriously ever until I did, until I had to.
Right. Yeah.
But I just I just always just treated it like it was just kind of something I had, you know. I never took insulin, and then I finally started taking insulin, and I Charcot foot started, and I didn't know what it was at the time. And
Yeah.
then, you know, and then I got to the first, I could barely walk by the time I got it addressed. Like, I could
Right.
barely
Yeah.
walk. My son was so frustrated with me. He said, "Dad, like, what are you doing? Like, you
Yeah.
can barely get in the door, you know." The day of my first surgery, I had to walk down to the surgery. I could barely make it. Like, it was just absolutely ridiculous. And we started by putting steel rods in my foot to try to straighten it out. But they broke. And then he put another one in, and it broke. And then I had this bracket bolted to my leg. I mean, it bolted into my bone, and my foot floated over it. That was hell for 7 months. My leg didn't even look real. People saw me come, they didn't know what was going on, you know. But yeah, you're right. As a man, I did not. I maybe as a woman could do it too, but I just think a woman pretended probably jump on a little bit quicker, you know, like
Yeah,
see what was going on at
you
least.
can't make the blanket statement across the board,
No,
but
no, no.
I think that just, you know, we have experienced as you know,
Man.
middle-aged men and our parents, our dads, more to the point, it's kind of like this. Yeah, a lot of guys, I mean, you hear lots of guys that are older that, you know, they find out they have prostate cancer, they've had a pain, they don't do anything about it. No, I don't want to go to the doctor and get a finger in my butt. Well, like, you know, it's like, okay, who cares, man, if you're going to prevent yourself from getting prostate cancer. But, you know, the other question I guess I had, and I've wanted to ask this before and I haven't, but we're talking about it today. Like, you know, what kind of advice in the early going when you were told you had diabetes, like, were the doctors really like, were they like, okay, here's what you need to do. You need to change your diet. You need to exercise. You need to do this. 'Cause those are all things that are
You know
clearly.
what? I don't think it was impressed upon me as much as it should have been. You know,
Okay.
somewhat, but I find the doctors I've had, they're pill pushers, right? So it's like, well, here, take this, take this, take this. So I
Right.
start off on one pill and then another pill, and I'm not kidding. I'm taking this day, I take like five pills for diabetes, right? And then they started talking about insulin, and I got scared off insulin, so I didn't take it. But yes, they also, you know, said, I remember going to a dietitian and was saying I should be exercising more, and I shouldn't be eating, I gotta eat a lot more protein and not eating carbs and sugars and all that. And you know what I did? I didn't do a fucking thing. I didn't. I makes me I don't think I'm a stupid human being. I knew better. And I would get mad at people. If anyone ever tried to give me advice, I'd say, "Yeah, I know. I know. You know, I
Yeah.
know. I'm not an idiot. I know what I'm supposed to be doing. I don't need your advice." And
Right.
people are just worried. They're just trying to be nice, right?
Of
But
course.
I, you know, my big, I remember the big thing I did was I used to drink a lot of Coke. So I switched to Diet Coke. You know, that fixed everything. I'll just drink Diet Pop and I'll be okay, right?
Right. Yeah.
If I could have my, oh God, man, if I could go back to the time they diagnosed it, I don't think I'd be sitting here today with one leg. I know I wouldn't be. I know I wouldn't be. I would have been much better off. And I had,
Say that again.
if I'd have just changed back when I was 25, when they told me to, I would still have two legs.
Yeah.
I just would have.
Oh,
I'm telling you.
I don't doubt that for one
And
second.
I.
And so I guess the next question is like, do you have like some shame or guilt or like, do you have remorse around that? Is it like, I mean, it's hard because you can't change the past, but
Remorse is the word.
probably, yeah.
I mean, guilt and shame is probably true, but it's only for myself, you know, like,
Right.
you know, but I just would like to pound into anybody that gets, you know, not only diagnosis of type 2, but if you're overweight, if you're struggling with that, and I know it's not easy. God, it's not easy. Losing weight is hard to do, but even if you're not losing pounds, just eat the right stuff. Try to get some diet. And you don't have to eat perfect all the time, but just do
Yeah.
better. And buddy, I'm starting to question my own intelligence because I'm so bad that even after I got Charcot foot and had all these operations, I still wasn't eating properly. Like
Right.
I think I'm invincible for some reason. Like, I think I've always thought I was invincible. That's why I used to drive my Harley at 200 miles an hour. Like, I just think, I'll be okay. I'll be okay. And I always use my depression as kind of an excuse to, well, I deserve this, or I just don't care. I got enough stuff on my plate. I'm worried about this. I'm worried about that. And then as you get sicker, you start feeling sorry for yourself, and you just don't feel like
Yeah,
taking
it's a
care of yourself.
yeah, it becomes a vicious cycle.
It does. But I'll tell you, I've changed now. I'm changing now because
Okay.
I'm not losing my other fucking leg. I'll tell you that.
Right.
Way. I know that sounds like, yeah, Sean, a little too late. But I think I'm going to be able to get a prosthetic, and everyone's telling me I'm going to walk around fairly normal, and I'm going to lead a better lifestyle than I've been leading the last few years because my leg's been so bad, and I'm going to feel
Yeah.
like a new person and all that stuff. And I'll talk about some of the challenges to get to that. But if I lose both legs, I'm in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
That's
Yeah, I mean, look, a friend of mine, his dad got diabetes. He was in his 60s probably. And his was mostly diet related too. He wasn't all necessarily overweight or didn't smoke, but like he went to the like complete extreme. Like he started making his own ketchup, like, because that's the other thing that I think a lot of people don't realize is where sugar is. And like, it's like literally in almost everything that's processed, anything
Yes.
that is in a jar, in a bottle, in the frozen food section that is a pre-prepared meal, there is just a ton of sugar in it, right? And I think again, awareness, and even you were talking about the fact that you didn't really change your diet, but part of that comes from environment. If you were brought up and it was okay to eat TV dinners, and you have a certain, and then there's comfort level, and we all know about comfort foods, and so then we have all these associations. And then you also, in all that, you also brought up like depression. So then, depression becomes, again, it's like, okay, well, I'm depressed, so I'm gonna have ice cream, or I'm depressed, so I love cereal, I'm gonna have cereal. So there is a real cycle. But I mean, I was reading, and again, I think when we have these topics, again, it's very personal for you. It's personal for me because I care about you. But it gives me again an opportunity to learn a bit about something and also to share that. But yeah, there's a lot of environmental. I kind of lost my track there, but there's there,
No,
but it is. But also, it is also. Sorry, I got it. It can lead the diabetes can in fact lead to depression, but
yes.
because you have these sugar highs and these lows, these spikes, sugar spikes that people talk about, like it's like, oh, I'm euphoric, oh, I'm down, oh, I'm euphoric, oh, I'm down, and sometimes you're not even aware of why it's happening.
Oh, buddy, in
So,
anger, I'm not an angry person, as I think you know. I don't lose my temper. I don't holler. But when I was
no.
in my late 20s, 30s, when I was at my heaviest and I was eating really bad, I would just lose it, like for n no reason. It'd
Yeah.
just be like zero to, just like,
Yeah,
and I
yeah.
feel terrible because that's not who I am. But it was literally just these spikes that were just running through my body that were just totally out of
Totally.
control, right? Like it was like being almost like on steroids or something. Like,
Yeah.
and I was never smart enough to put two and two together. And I was even a smoker back then. And you said something else that triggered something for me. I grew up from the time I was born till I was 16, 17 years old. They used to call me Daddy Long Legs. I was tall. I was skinny as a rake. I could eat
Yeah.
whatever I wanted. My sister struggled with her weight when she was younger. She couldn't eat stuff. She was always dieting. I felt so bad for her. She wasn't eating big by any means, but people get like that. And I was thin as a rail. They used to say, "Oh, where you get a hollow leg? Where's it all going? I can eat whatever I wanted." And the problem
Yeah.
is, when you eat whatever you want till you're like 19, and then all of a sudden your weight goes like, I gained 100 pounds in a year, and I couldn't even understand what was going on. I like, what?
Yeah.
I don't gain weight. Like, what is this?
Yeah.
I remember the first time I saw Shrek Mark. I'm like, what is this? Like, I don't care what's going on here, right? And so that didn't help. And I was, and then there's all the other factors of life, like everybody. I got married. I was a father. I was on the road. I mean, I went from being a child one day to being a husband and a father and an employee and a traveler and all this stuff that I didn't know how to handle. And then when you travel, you spend all day on the road, and all of a sudden I got a couple bucks, and I'm like, nighttime, you think I'm going out for a salad and a nice glass of water? No, I'm getting Donairs and pizzas and McDonald's.
It's hard being on the road and eating well. It is for
It
sure.
is. It's an effort. It's an effort.
It is an effort. Yeah, and interesting, like you mentioned the smoking. I was reading about diabetes this morning, and smoking is a key factor, which I was like, I didn't understand why, but I read the list. It increases insulin resistance because it makes body cells less sensitive to insulin. Nicotine raises blood sugar levels, which I had no idea. It can cause spike in blood glucose. It obviously increases the risk of heart disease, stroke, kidney disease, nerve, and eye problems, which are all associated with diabetes. And I think one of the biggest ones is it impairs the blood circulation, which, again, based on what you're telling me and based on what I read this morning, is directly related to the Charcot foot, because your blood circulation, because you have cell damage. Because what I mean, basically, what I read and what I'm seeing, like, it literally. The insulin, the processing of the glucose, it literally affects every cell in your body, which is like, when you put it that way, it's like, it's not like, I mean, it's not like I have cancer in my neck, okay? Like, it's literally affecting, like diabetes is affecting every cell in your body when it gets to a point where it is severe, I guess. And that, like, when you talk about it like that, it's like, holy shit.
Yeah, and that's why, when diabetics can eat too much sugar, all of a sudden their eyes go blurry, and that's because your blood got thick, and it can't in your blood vessels, the blood can't get to the vessels in your eyes because it's too thick. It's like syrup, right? And in the old days, they used to test for diabetes by people with pee, and then they'd have ants and see if the ants would be interested in their piss or not, because their piss would be sugary. Can you imagine? That's how. That's but it was just literally sugar in your body, that much sugar. And but smoking, and anybody watches me, if anybody watches our podcast, they know I'm still vaping. I know I quit smoking a couple of years ago, started vaping, but I've already promised my wife and myself that I'm going to stop vaping too. She's giving me a little bit of a buffer because I'm going through a lot right now. I didn't want to jump on something else, but that's going to be very, very soon. I'm going to get rid of that too.
And I didn't do any research for that. I've been struggling, as you know, with smoking and quitting. I'm smoking again. I was vaping for a bit. I'm honestly not convinced, to be honest with you, and this is a side topic, that vaping is that much better. I look at the what's going on in the chemicals and those things, and I'm just like, I'm not convinced this is better. I mean,
I'm
I
not
know
convinced it
we've
is either.
talked about it on podcasts, the smell and all that stuff. I don't know. I mean, I get it. I get stress, and I get it. Like, I totally understand, but that's a whole other subject, so I don't know.
No, it is, and you're right. I'm not convinced it is either. I'm not an idiot, but I do like the vaping as far as it doesn't smell. It's
I get
cheaper.
it.
I don't gross out my wife, my clothes, and my fingers and all that. But that's not the main problem. The problem is my health, and I can't take any more hits. Like, I can't take any more hits. I mean, I'm literally not even a full human being anymore. Like, I'm losing parts of my body, right? But it does get depressing, and this is a childish thing to say. There's an old Alan Jackson song, "Everything I Love Is Killing Me." It's everything I like doing have to be bad for me? Like, Jesus Christ, man.
I mean, I guess, yeah. Look, I mean, if we talk to a non-smoker, they would say nothing good about smoking anyway, right? So it's kind of like, it's just a mindset, right? It's like, oh, I enjoy this, but eventually,
I love smoking. Love it. I haven't smoked in a couple of years, and I love it. Love it.
I mean, I guess I do. I mean, I guess I could say the same thing, but I less and less. And I think in all of this, like, I've thought about my own sugar and my own sugar intake, and I think I eat very well, and I'm grateful just because I have a kind of a certain knowledge about what is good to eat, what's not good to eat, and I thankfully I have the ability when I like to make good choices in that. But I do love ice cream. That's been my biggest thing. And but it's interesting because I'm going through a phase. It's like, again, one of those things, oh, I just have a little bit. But let there have been times lately where I especially just recently, I had a double scoop, like a bunch of ice cream, and I actually felt hungover after I ate it. And I was like, this is fucked up. Like, this is not a feeling that I like. This is a, you know, I, obviously I've given up alcohol, and that's been a wonderful thing. And so certainly anybody who was a drinker remembers being hungover and what that feels like. And I think when you get rid of drinking, that is like one of the greatest parts about not drinking anymore is you never have to feel hungover again, right?
Absolutely.
But when that happened, I was like, okay. Because now that association with having ice cream is like, I feel like I'm hungover, and I'm like, I don't want that anymore.
Hey,
So
that's
that
not a
was
bad thing.
good.
Yeah, it
That
is.
was nice. Yeah, no, it was good. It was a good thing.
Well, I remember when I was younger. I mean, I think McDonald's was better when we were younger. It wasn't good, but I think it tasted better.
Yeah.
I used to like McDonald's, but I remember being in my, I think it was in my late 30s. I had McDonald's one day, and I realized every time I had McDonald's, 10 minutes later, I felt ill. Like, ill.
Absolutely,
It just like this,
100%.
oh, what did I just put in my body? You know? It's
Just
just
doubling over, yeah, it's
just
horrible.
disgusting. It's salt and sugar and crap and chemicals, and it's just, here you go. You know? Even their
Yeah,
milkshakes is just some chemical goo. It's not even milk. You know? Like, it's just.
like again, nobody's gonna die or get diabetes from it if you have it once a year. Like, okay, not a problem, right? But
Even
it's not.
ice cream. You said ice cream. If you went in the summertime, if you went to get an ice cream even once a week, you're not going to get diabetes. The problem is if you're eating, a liter a day, or, I didn't get my diabetes from ice cream. I got it
No,
from the carbs, the cereal, the toast,
for
the
sure.
bagels, the spaghetti, the pasta,
Milk,
everything,
even.
milk, everything, just carbs, carbs, carbs. I'm a carboholic. I don't even like protein that much, but. Like you see me drinking this here today is because I've been exercising, and my son said, "Dad, we got to get some protein into you." So I got me this powder that he uses. It's well rated, and I'm drinking protein shakes because he said,
Whey protein, yeah.
"You're doing your exercise. You need protein to build those muscles up, or it's not gonna work." So we're starting on a couple different things to improve that, right? So.
100%. I mean, if you want to like a touch on that, I actually, so the two, I, you know, when I did a little research into like diet, the two diets that are the highest recommended, the Mediterranean diet is the highest recommended diet.
Okay.
It's proven people in Greece and Italy, they live a long time. They eat a lot of vegetables, fruits, nuts, whole grains, healthy fats, so a lot of olive oil and nuts, moderate amounts of fish and seafood, limited red meat and processed meat, almost no, well, moderate consumption of dairy, and then occasional wine. So that's considered one of the best diets. I switched away from, generally speaking, I don't eat cow milk or cheese anymore. So goat milk or goat cheese is much better for you. I know that. I drink almond milk in my coffee now, which I like the taste of very much because, yeah, cow milk has lactose, which is a sugar.
I think I'm
So that
gonna.
was one thing that I read about. And then the other one was the DASH diet, which is dietary approaches to stop hypertension. I'd never heard of this. But again, high fruits, vegetables, and whole grains, rich lean proteins, poultry, fish, and beans, legumes, low saturated fat, obviously, and then very low fat or fat-free dairy products, low sodium intake. So those were the two. So you said you were working on some diet stuff, and like, are you, is there anything that you want to share, or something that's
Well,
working
it
or?
hasn't been anything that intense yet. I haven't had much of an appetite since coming out of the hospital.
Yeah.
The medicine's given me kind of a sick stomach, and
Yeah.
I've been everything always sounds like an excuse when I say it out loud, and maybe it is, but I haven't really had the mental capacity to deal with too much since I've lost my leg.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I'm trying very hard not to be depressed. I am depressed, but I'm trying to stay out of that. I'm trying to keep a little, I've been trying to keep a little bit busy or keep company around me a lot. I find
Yeah.
nighttime hard. I wake up in the middle of the night and I start thinking things that, and like you said, remorse and guilt and stuff. And I even
Yeah.
feel, and there's the parts
Yeah.
of it, yes, I've lost my leg and all that stuff, but I realize what I'm doing to my wife. Like, she's now got to take care of me again, and she's been, and she doesn't complain, and she loves me, and she says she doesn't care, but she'd rather be doing something else, and I'd rather she was
Yeah,
doing something else and waiting
for
on
sure.
me.
For sure.
Thank God I have her. I couldn't get
Yeah.
by without her, and my kids and my family and my friends and everybody. But
Yeah.
you also, at first, it's nice, people are paying attention to you, and you realize the people that love you, and it's nice, but it gets old quick. I don't want to be a burden on people.
No,
And then I
of course
find
not.
I'm even going without things that I want because I just can't bring myself to ask her again. Like, I just like I gotta leave her alone for a while. But I'm kind
Yeah.
of, and then you feel really, I don't know, helpless. Like, I'm kind of everyone's mercy right now. I can only
For
do so
sure.
much on my own, right? So
Yeah.
I can't leave the house on my own. There's no way. It's just
Right.
not for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the diet
Yeah.
thing, I kind of like what you said today because I'm going to look into those diets. I'm not sure I'm going to take those diets, but I'm going to look into them. That's another thing I wanted to bring up when we were talking about my journey. I managed to lose in my 40s. I lost 140 pounds, right? So I started getting kind of on my high horse, like, well, don't tell me how to eat. I lost 140 pounds. I know what it takes to lose weight. I did it, right? Yeah. I did it because I was an opiate addict and I wasn't eating and I was smoking
Don't
lots,
want to take anything away from it, but I think that you said that you basically lost it because you weren't eating,
Bingo. I just
which is
stopped
not
eating.
the way to lose weight, as
No.
you know. So don't that's not the way you want to do
And
it,
I
but
wasn't eating because I was a drug addict and I was recovering. I was depressed. I just
right.
didn't feel like food. And it just
Right.
wasn't like someone
Yeah.
said one time, how'd you lose that weight? I said, well, I could tell you, but it's a tough go, man.
It's not the way you want to do it. That's for sure. Yeah.
Find some opiates, dedicate about 14 years, become really good and addicted. And
Yeah,
okay.
no, don't recommend any of that on this
Oh, so
podcast.
I don't know to how to healthily, healthily, health.
Yeah.
I don't know how to do it in a healthy fashion. Let's put it that way. I do
Yeah,
know
I
how to.
think,
And sorry,
yeah.
I'm going to stop interrupting, I
No,
promise.
no.
But I do, I will, I do get snappy with people, and I know I shouldn't because I think there's people out there that maybe haven't had a chance for education or haven't got the information from their parents and they don't know how to eat. They don't know what's going on. I do know how to eat. I do know what's going on. I do know what I'm doing wrong. So I have it's I guess it's willpower, it's whatever, but
Yeah.
I don't need someone to come to me and explain to me, if you didn't eat carbs and sugar and you ate more meats and vegetables, you'd be healthier.
Right.
I'm always like, yeah, no fucking shit, like I'm not an idiot. I
Right.
guess I'm an idiot because I haven't done it,
Right.
but it's not a lack of education or knowledge that's stopping me. It's
Right.
willpower, it's self-esteem, it's a million other things, but it's definitely not just, it's definitely not about knowing what I should do. I know what to do. It's like I
Yeah.
remember I snapped at a guy we worked with. I won't say his name. I was down in Vegas one day and he saw me drink a Diet Coke and he just laid into me about Diet Coke not being good for me. And I said, would you fuck off?
Right.
And he's like, what's wrong?
Right.
I said, what do you think? You think I'm walking around thinking Diet Coke's healthy for me? Like you think I'm a moron? I know it's not.
Right.
But I
Right.
also said, Diet Coca-Cola is one of the biggest brands in the world. It's been known as the most recognizable brand in the world. I'm not the only person drinking it, okay? Like,
Right.
There's a lot of reasons people, and I was brought up on Coca-Cola, and I was taught, like, I didn't know back then it was as bad for me and all that, and it's hard to change habits, right? Like, I don't know if you eat really well, and I'm proud of you for that. Like, it's amazing. But did you always eat really well?
I think honestly, my mom cooked for us all the time, so we had home cooked meals, and that's how I learned to cook. And I went to university. I didn't eat so well. I was on my own, whatever. But then my first wife, she was a nutritionist, so we ate well then. And I think for me now, and for during most of my adult life, I like cooking. I like preparing meals, and I liked very much the sociability aspect of that. Sometimes it involved drinking a few glasses of wine, but I like preparing food. My dad always had a vegetable garden, so whenever I had opportunity, I grew my own vegetables. So yeah, again, I think my environment growing up and subsequently thereafter was such that I just had an appreciation of making good meals, and so that I think was highly beneficial. So it really was it was kind of handed to me on a silver platter. Like, it wasn't hard for me to then. And of course, like I said, I mean, I there wasn't, like, when I went on the road, yeah, I could fall out of that too. I'm stopping at McDonald's too. I'm rushing around. Of course, for sure. And there have been times where I fluctuated in weight, but not much, honestly. I think I was probably 175 pounds in high school. I was maybe got to 205. I know I did. I got to 205 when I was at university, but ever since I've hovered around a certain weight. And I'm grateful to my mom, I guess, really, for kind of providing a good foundation for me. That's
And there's
not
so
everyone
many,
gets that.
and that's awesome. But there are so many factors that we probably don't even realize. Because I want everyone to know that I'm not judging anybody. Because, you could say, someone can say, well, I eat great. And then maybe they drink too much, or they smoke too much, or they do something else too much. We all have our vices. We all have things we do wrong. Nobody's perfect. And there's a lot more to it. Like, I wasn't real athletic as a child. I didn't like exercise, but I was also a severe, and I mean severe, asthmatic as a child. And it was, if I ran, if I did anything, I couldn't breathe. So I couldn't exercise. I couldn't go do a lot of stuff. I just couldn't. It wasn't in the, so, and when you grow up enough, you grow a few years and you're just, I love my mom. I'm not knocking my mom, but my mom, we ate, we, if something could come in a box, we ate it in a box. I remember we would eat potatoes and maybe dinners and stuff like that. And then
Of
I
course.
wasn't an exercise family, and I bought a motorcycle when I was 16. I didn't buy a super bicycle. I bought a thing with an engine in it, and as soon as I could drive, I drove, and like, yeah.
It's so funny that you bring that up, because I've been up at the farm lately. I've been doing some work up at this farm, and I ride my bike a lot. And I'm on the road on my bike, 57-year-old guy riding his bike, and I'm like watching all these kids passing me on their motorized scooters and their motorized bikes, and I'm like, when did everybody fucking need a motor to get around? I'm like, what the hell?
Absolutely.
Like,
I
so
agree.
that was kind of
I
a
see
funny
some older
thing.
people on the motorized bikes and they're pedaling a bit. I said, well, good for you. You're trying something. But when you see a 16-year-old, like, what the hell are you doing?
What are you? Yeah, well, you can't ride a bike, man. Anyway, it's a funny thing. But I mean, going back to my mom, look, I have fond memories, of course, of eating fish sticks and fries out of a box. Of course, everybody, like, and now and then I'll go get a box of fish sticks and fries just to say, you know what? Here, yeah, thank you, mom. Like, this is something that I like.
I
But
like
I
fish
think
sticks.
thankfully, I just had a good balance. And I think that's what we're talking about. At times you got a little out of balance, and diabetes came into your life. And then, I mean, you're saying that
I'm
it,
paying the
because it
price.
wasn't taken as seriously as it could have been, that it progressed. And that's why we're trying to, like, at least educate people on what can ultimately
Yes.
happen.
And
But
I didn't go ahead.
I just want to go back to, because you were talking about, right now there's a lot of people around, and there's a lot of support, and as we know, like, that will slowly start to fade a little bit, and then you will be kind of like back to being on your own. And you and I talked a little bit before before the podcast about, what it looks like. I mean, I think you'll be in a bit of grief. Like, it's almost impossible to imagine that you won't be, because, you've lost part of your body. Like, and I just touched on this because I felt like it was important to just discuss, but it's very well known, the seven stages of grief. It's well documented, and I'm going to read them off because I think it's going to be a process. Like, the first one would have been shock and disbelief. That is number one. You find out you're going to have, you're like, holy fuck, this is real, right? And then the number two is denial. You're like, okay, well, I don't know, maybe not, but I think maybe in this case, denial probably would have been pretty short-lived, because you were
I
kind
did a
of
little
given
bit of
notice
both.
and it was happening. Like, you knew it was.
For sure.
Anger, I don't know, tell, like, were you angry?
Yes.
Yeah.
Angry at that was happening, angry at myself, like just,
Yeah.
yeah, angry, for sure,
Yeah,
for
anger
sure.
comes in. I mean, you've admitted you're not an angry person, and sometimes we don't necessarily release that anger, but sometimes if we don't, it kind of, we push it down, and then what, it turns into something else. But bargaining is the next one. Maybe there wasn't a lot of bargaining in this, because again, I don't think that, but so number five is depression, which may come, it could come after.
I'm
Number
already.
six. Yeah, number six is testing. So then you begin to, like, think, okay, well, I'm gonna have to slowly start changing here. So it says beginning to explore practical solutions and coping strategies, which you had a little test this week, and then slowly shifting from emotion to problem solving. That's number six. And then number seven eventually is acceptance. You're like, okay, well, I mean, again, that comes sort of naturally, but eventually you have to go, okay, I'm going to get a prosthetic. Here's how I'm going to walk. Here's what I'm going to do. And then also the acceptance of, okay, how am I going to change my diet? Can I exercise a bit more? Can I, like, and an acceptance to me of change, because, like, change is the only thing that actually happens all the time. We want things to stay the same, but they don't. Everything changes. And so now will be a big time for change in your life, and it's going to be a challenge. But I think, and we talk about this a lot, and I can't help but stress it. It's like my mantra, you know this. It's one day at a time. So what can I do today to make that change slow? Like, what can I eat today to make my diet a little bit better? What can I do to, like, slowly improve my mindset as to how I'm going to work on this? That kind of stuff. So
Absolutely.
I
Absolutely.
thought, yeah.
Yeah,
I
and
thought that
we've
going through that was a good kind of process, but
it is. I appreciate it. I
yeah.
never thought of it quite that set out, but I've gone through
Yeah.
some of those steps. And we are making and it is slow, but like, I've
Yeah.
tried to lay off, I've stopped eating cereal. I'm eating a little bit of oatmeal in the morning.
Good.
I
Yeah.
put a bunch of sugar in, I put a little maple syrup in it just for a little bit of taste.
Yeah.
I've been exercising every day. We got rehab exercises, and I hate
Awesome.
exercise. Sean was
Yeah.
making me do it. We go through the whole thing. We're adding stuff to it every day. Now, I have been depressed, and I do get angry sometimes where I'm just, especially when something goes wrong, and I'm just like, oh, fuck, how can this be happening? Right. And I told you about it. I told a few people, like, I had an accident. So I went along about a week, and I was doing very well. And you've got to, I've learned some things. So some technical sides about losing your limb. The main thing you have to do is you have to keep moving it. And you have to keep it straight, because if a lot of people, the natural, when you cut off the muscles and the tendons, it snaps, so it wants to stay bent. And if you don't fight against that, it will stay bent, and you'll go get a prosthetic, and you won't be able to wear one. So
I
you're
see. Wow. Okay.
so I was keeping it limber and straight and working through the pain and all that stuff. And I was getting around the house. I had a system set up with, I've got two walkers, crutches, canes, a different walker, a wheelchair, ramps. My son's put in support bars in the bathroom for me. It costs us a fortune and all this stuff.
Right.
And but then I'm in the washroom, and I think I told you before, I think I was not careless but complacent. Not
Yeah.
sure exactly what happened, but didn't I fall on my bad leg? And
Yeah.
buddy, I screamed like a banshee.
Yeah.
Screamed. Nobody was home. And I was screaming. I was crying. I was in shock. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to do because I think what happened is I started to fall, and I put my foot down to stop it, but I don't have a foot anymore. So I just went straight
course.
down, and all those brand new cut nerves and bones and tendons all just smashed against the floor, and it was just a complete body shock. I blacked out
Yeah.
for a second. I got myself back into this walker, dragged myself over to my chair, and I just sat there crying. And
Yeah.
then I really got mad, and then I started like, why is this going to be fucking happening to me, and what am I going to do about
Yeah, there's the anger for
it?
sure.
And yes, that was the anger. And then it was bandaged, and I was scared to look because I thought that I just rip out all my stitches. Am I going to be back in surgery? Anyway, it's bruised and swollen, and I'm okay. And I got back from exercises today because I couldn't move for the last few days. But then I always heard about this thing called phantom pain, and I thought they meant that once in a while you'd feel a twinge in your foot. No, it's not even with me. The phantom pain hasn't been such a big thing. A little bit. It's the phantom feeling. Buddy, to this day, 2 weeks later, if I'm looking at you, I can look at you right now and I'm wiggling my toes. And they are wiggling just like you are wiggling yours, man. It's no different. I can feel my ankle. And when I feel pain in my leg, I'm feeling it down by my foot. Everything, my foot is there. As far as my brain concerned, I still have my foot. That's it. There's no, not a little bit, completely. And it freaked you out. And I think that's why I put it down, because I thought it was there, you know, just for a second. 55
Well, it makes
years of
sense.
having
It's
a
been
Floyd,
there for
you know,
54 years. So,
right?
yeah, it makes
And now it's
sense.
like, oh. So, but I'll tell you, I've been scared ever since I had my accident. Been a lot more careful. So every movement, I'm being very like, okay, hand goes here, brake goes on, foot goes here. But I was struggling. And I got no pride left. I was struggling getting off of the toilet. I stand still. When I gotta go pee, I stand up. I have bars to support me, and I stand on 1 foot. But when I have to sit down, I was really struggling, even though I had support bars, to get up off the up off to, just, there was just this one spot, and I just kept struggling, and that's where I fell. But my son today installed this thing that goes over the toilet with two support bars, and it's fantastic. So I mean, we're making progress all the time, but it's we're learning, right? This is all new. We're just doing it right.
100%.
And
Well, I mean,
I was home in 24 hours, brother.
I know that's crazy.
24 hours. They said they used to keep you for 3 months to get you through PT and OT and all this stuff. I had my surgery, and 24 hours later, I was home. And some of that's good. I don't want to be in there. I don't want an infection. I don't want any of that stuff. But some of it, I could have used
Better to
probably
have
some
them.
more help and, you know, like the catch 22. But I don't know, man. I don't know. I can't. I'm on here talking to you today about this. Like, I gotta tell you, about an hour ago, I thought I'm gonna text Chris. I'm not doing this podcast today. I just haven't got it in
I'm
me.
sure it's hard, and I understand that, and I get it. Like, sharing this kind of stuff is hard. There's no doubt about it. But I think you know as well as I do that people can learn from this conversation, and I think that that's what we're focused on, right? And I mean, you like you said a couple things there, and it's super important. And it's kind of what you're reiterating what I was saying. Like, you have to like really stay present. Like, you got to make sure your hand is here and your hand, like, you got to stay present. And I had an interesting conversation with somebody just the other day, and we were talking about staying present and staying in the now. And we've talked about kind of be living in the past and regrets, and then we talked a bit about that today. But the past tends to bring up feelings of regret and guilt, and the future tends to bring up feelings of fear. Like, we worry about things that may come in the future, but the now tends to be like it just allows you to be present, right?
Absolutely.
And I think, like, again, power to you. I mean, and nobody wouldn't have been scared to go into this. Like, I can't even imagine. I try to put myself in your shoes and I think about it, but it's really impossible. It wasn't real for me, and it was real for you. And I talked to your wife. I texted a little bit with her. You're a strong man, and you've gone through a lot, and you've done it, I think, always with grace and kindness and loving attitude. And I think there's always a lesson in this stuff to say, like, you can continue to persevere and you can now be an advocate for something and maybe help somebody else. And I think that that's your gift for to people, man. And I love you and I'm proud of you. And I get it if an hour ago you were like, I don't really want to do this. I get it, man. It's okay. But you did it and we're here. And I think this is a wonderful podcast. I think I'm emotional and it's a lot, man. And I love you and I'm happy you're here with me and that you keep on trucking, man, because it's all you can do, one day at a time,
Well, that means a lot to me, Chris. It really
man.
does, because it's like I had been through a lot, but you get down on yourself because, like, you just talked about it, but it doesn't really matter if something's your fault. You still have to deal with it, right? Like, as I don't know, like I'm to blame for most of my problems, but most of us are to blame for most of our own problems. I mean, it's
For
like when
sure.
you I tried to explain that to a kid in my group the other, before I got off. I just said, we're just humans being humans. Don't be too hard on yourself, man.
Exactly.
Like, bad as you're doing, someone else is doing worse, and someone else is doing better, and you'll be doing better later, and someone else will be doing worse. Like, don't worry about it. You said it. I live by stuff you say, man, and that day by day, minute by minute, we've talked about it before. The only thing that Chris and Sean really have is right now. Right now.
For sure. For
I can get
sure.
up from this and have a heart attack and be gone. Sean could call you. So Sean died 5 minutes later, Chris. I can't believe it. I mean, who knows? Like,
100%.
you could walk away from a car. I know it's an old saying, but it's true. I had one of the girls from my group that I run. She came over with her dad to see me. She's actually running my group for me when I'm down. And while she was here, her father's phone rang, and her sister lost two friends in a car accident. They died that night. Like, I mean, two. We and there was four people in the car. They were all under 25, and they all died. Bam. Like, I think those parents are feeling. Do you think they're worried about the future or the past? They're worried about right fucking now, man. All we really have.
And when you texted me the other day and when after you'd had your fall and you said I have no, what did you say? Have no shame? No, not shame. You didn't, what was the word you used?
Pride left. I
I
still
have
have
no
some pride
pride.
left.
And I know you do have pride. And you told me your day was ruined. And I tried to kind of shift your mindset. Like, I'm sure it was difficult and it was painful, but like, I don't know. I mean, there's still a silver lining in every day. Like, Shauna there,
Yeah, she's just
there's
looking funny.
still,
There
there's
is.
still a silver lining to look for in every day. Like you're here, you're on the podcast. Yeah, you lost your leg, and you still have a lot of things to be grateful for. I did some stats. There's like 600 million people in the world that have diabetes.
Wow.
Yeah.
And am I not wrong? Wasn't it a Canadian that invented insulin?
Yeah, Banting and Best. Yeah, Banting and Best. Actually, I did some research. There's evidence that there was diabetes in like ancient Egypt, ancient
Wow.
India. They called it honey urine because they had a sweet smell and taste in the urine that you mentioned. Whether they were eating obviously too much sugar, grain, whatever it was. But yeah, Banting and Best discovered insulin. There's opportunity for change at this point still, right? For you, like and it's
And
just yeah,
we
it's just
talked.
a mind shift. It's just a change in your hat, some habits, and I think you still got a lot of good living to do is the net of it, right?
I've tried to focus on that stuff. There are a lot of changes coming. I mean, it could be career changes, it could be life changes, it's definitely health changes and moving changes and all that stuff. And I'm trying to think of it as a good thing, like we're going to come to something better. And I'll tell you, as far as silver linings, I mean, I guess we know this, but silver lining to me has been my friends and family. My God, man, the stuff people, my oldest friends were on vacation, so they should be out enjoying themselves. They spent most of it with me, like just sitting here with me because they were worried about me, And my wife has been just unbelievable. My son has been unbelievable. The stuff they've been doing, like, it just, It's been
Yeah.
unreal, the outpouring from everybody.
Yeah.
So, been
Yeah.
pretty incredible. Sorry, my phone's ringing. Very unprofessional. You know who's calling? Diabetes Canada, looking for how's that for timing? Looking,
Seriously?
yeah, looking for donations. We donate clothes to them and stuff sometimes.
That's great.
But yeah, I think I'm gonna have to wrap it up. I'm wearing out a little bit, but I think we're pretty much at time anyway. I do feel like we just listen. We spend 45 minutes to an hour together on this stuff. I mean, we just skim the top of the subject. There's a million more
Yeah.
things I'd like to talk about. The subject would deserve
Yeah.
more time, but I mean, it was nice to touch base on it. I wanted to see you, and I wanted to get a podcast out there. I think we should be able to get back on track now and get back to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, look, man, you sharing your personal journey into this is that's a big deal, and I sharing about this and what the outcome can ultimately be, which is a scary thing for anybody who's living with diabetes, and that there's obviously options. There's a lot of information out there, and sometimes it gets to this. It doesn't have to, but there's still opportunity to to keep on going and change some habits and
Exactly. But people, I
get
do beg
on
that people take it.
the right track.
I will say it again, though. Last comment is that people take it seriously. I read something. This wasn't
Take
my
it
comment,
seriously.
but it's an extreme comment. It was this very well-known surgeon, and he said, with the advances in treatment to AIDS, one of the worst diseases in the world, he said, with the advances of treatment right now, he said, I would rather be told I had AIDS than diabetes. That's how scared he was of it. And that blew my mind. That blew my mind.
Yeah, wow. Wow.
Because he said it's
Yeah, there I did
even
this
better.
little common misconception. Yeah, that's crazy. But I did. There was a common misconceptions about diabetes, and one of them was, oh, diabetes is not a serious disease. And they come back with diabetes is a serious chronic condition that can lead to complications like heart disease, kidney failure, blindness, and nerve damage. So yeah, that's pretty serious.
That's pretty much everything. That's the whole gamut. So anyway, listen,
Right.
I'll say see
All
you
right,
later,
brother.
and thanks for spending your time with me. And
Yeah, see you later.
I will be in touch, obviously, and we'll talk soon.
Sounds great.
All right,
Thanks.
love
Thanks
you,
for
man.
sharing your story.
Thanks for being
All right,
with me.
brother. Love you.
Bye bye.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Talk to you soon.
All right, brother.
Bye.
Enjoy the rest of your Sunday. Love you.